All righty, let's turn to Job 1 tonight. Job chapter 1. Job 1. There was a man, verse 1, in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters and to eat and drink with them. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, we come to you tonight as a well-known passage, and so we'll approach it in this direction. I pray that you might bless it, Father. May somebody receive some encouragement from it. And Lord, we are living in the days that we live in. You said they were perilous, and you said they were dangerous, and you said they were dark. So we pray that you'd help us to take a careful vigil. And Lord, may we be inspired tonight, Lord, to maybe look at Job a little differently than we have in the past, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want to say to start with, I get the heebie-jeebies preaching about Job. So I'm not waving a red flag at the devil here tonight trying to get his attention. And frankly, I'm not waving a red flag at the Lord trying to get his attention either, because I really don't want either of them picking on me. But there's plainly a lot going on in our days, and, you know, at any time in a crowd our size, there are things going on in life and, you know, people going through things and, of course, deaths in families and, you know, there's always somebody waiting for some sort of prognosis, you know, from a doctor or something like that. And so we could just go down the list of all the things that are in limbo and, you know, folks struggling with marriage problems and money problems and job problems and security and all those things. And, you know, one thing that's certain, Eliphaz was right. Eliphaz was wrong about a lot of stuff. But over in Job chapter 5, down in verse 7, if there's nothing else Eliphaz said that was right, he said this right. He said in chapter 5, verse 7, "Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." And that's certainly true. Now, we all recognize Job as the Old Testament champ when it comes to enduring tremendous temptation, really losing everything, including his health, and still not cursing God, and still coming out on the light side of things instead of the dark. Job, for anybody's book, has to be way, way up on the spiritual pedestal when this thing ends, because he endured more than most of us ever will or ever could. And so, again, just lifting him up for that, none of us are in his league in either his trials or his victories won. He went through things I've never gone through, but he also won victories that I may never. And so I think about those things, and we just all recognize him as being, you know, the champ in that respect. And yet there is maybe a shocking lesson here for most of us. I was thinking about it and realized what I was looking at when I looked at it. You know, stop and think about this. Israel went through a lot throughout the Old Testament and all of her history biblically. And she saw miracles generation to generation, just about at every turn. The great prophets walked her streets and walked her hills. And they saw at every turn things magnificent things, wonderful things before their eyes take place. They saw those things. They got a chance to walk by sight some. And we know, we've commented many times how, you know, walking by sight sometimes isn't always cracked up to be. But most of us probably secretly think that if we got to see some of the things Israel got to see, maybe we wouldn't be stumbling on things that we stumble on now. That's our secret way of thinking, if you would. Moses, at the same time, he went through a lot of stuff in his ministry to Israel and Egypt, and then coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, and finally dying on the east side of Jordan there. Moses had a long career, a 40-year career in the ministry, and saw a lot of things, did a lot of things, raised the rod many times. The Red Sea parted. He called down plagues. He called down insects and all manner of things. He raised his rod and the manna from heaven fell and all those things. Raised his rod and the Amalekites fell. And you think about Moses. You think about Abraham. And Abraham got a chance to see some things. Elijah got to, you know, although he wound up one day so low that he was begging God to kill him, he got to see fire fall from heaven. He got to call down drought. Elijah saw a lot of stuff. And Elisha saw even more. He accomplished twice as many miracles as Elijah did. My point simply is that all these guys got to see things. Here are the three Hebrew children. And, you know, when it came time, they saw one likened to the Son of God, a fourth man in the fire. Here is Daniel, and while Daniel maybe didn't see some of the things, he did get to rise up out of a den of lions, not just a lion's den that was empty of lions, but a den of lions where the lions were still in there. And furthermore, God spoke to him and showed him magnificent visions and all those sort of things. The apostles, the disciples, they all got to see things. Whatever else, however else they died, most of them died horrible, you know, torturous deaths. Nevertheless, in their memories, they could remember, seeing Jesus Christ raise the dead and, you know, walk on water and all the things that they saw. They got to walk by sight in a measure. And maybe that's the reason we kind of excuse ourselves from some of the battles a little bit, is, and we think that maybe our losses and our, you know, our defeats and you know, spiritually, would have been made better had we gotten to see some of the things that they saw. And if I could just present this and say, if you're thinking that way at all, and we all kind of probably do, you should re-examine Job. Because I'd like to say that when you consider Job, you got to consider the fact that Job saw nothing. Think about the entire entire book of Job through his trial. It may be that Job saw marvelous miracles before Job was written and may have seen marvelous miracles after Job was written. But as far as the time that he walked through this trial, he saw nothing. He walked by faith and not by sight, just like me and you. I mean, I know he's a type of Israel. I know he's a type of a lot of things and all that, but he did not walk by sight. He was not like the children of Israel. He was not like Israel under Moses' ministry. He was not like Israel under Elijah's ministry. He was not like Israel under Elisha's ministry. Job, when it came to the champ getting through his trials and troubles and making it through and, you know, becoming what we now view him as, this guy, he did not see miracle signs. He did not see miracle wonders. He walked by faith and not by sight. And so I just wanted to bring a few things out here. This is kind of a loose amalgamation of stuff, I guess, but I'd like to preach for a little bit on how Job was like us. And I got news for you. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're going to walk at all, you're going to walk by faith. You can try to summon up all the visions that you want to get tired of the charismaniacs, trying to get us to see stuff and trying to make the Bible say stuff it doesn't. And you know, trying to go through the Bible like Russian roulette and make it all kinds of kind of a seance out of the thing so that they can know what's going to happen next. None of that stuff is true. You're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's not just in the good times. You're called to walk by faith in the bad times too. I'd like to say, first of all, you know, how Job was like us. I'd like to say, first of all, he never heard how pleased God was with him. Take, for instance, here in chapter 1, verse 1. First verse. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. Now, this is the Holy Spirit writing this through the writer of Job, Elihu. And he's saying that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That is the Holy Spirit's evaluation of Job from the very start. Now go on down to verse 8 where the Lord brings this up to Satan. And notice he says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Look over in chapter 2 real quick, chapter 2 verse 3 for round number 2, where after destroying all of Job's stuff, including his children, the Lord comes back to Satan and says, "And the Lord said unto Satan," verse 3, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him without cause?" I'd like to say that, you know, there's no way that you can really imagine that Job heard those words. Those were words spoken, you know, first of all, by the Holy Spirit before anybody wrote the first verse of Job. And these were things that were spoken between God and Satan. And so those weren't recorded yet either, and Job wasn't there. I'm simply saying that he never heard how pleased God was with him. And you ought to think about that. He never read God's evaluation of him until presumably he could have after it was over, but not while he was going through it. He walked by faith and not by sight. He never heard what God told the devil about him. There is no record that it was ever reported to him. Now, he had God's words. Take your Bibles real quick. Job 23. He had some of God's words. We don't know all that God spoke to Job because evidently before anything else was recorded. So they had conversations. He had God's words because he says in verse 12, 23:12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." So God was giving him commandments at some level. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job knew something of the word of God, whatever it was that God told him. That's not really revealed to us. But as far as I can tell, he never heard how highly God thought of him, that he was a perfect man, an upright man, a righteous man who feareth God and escheweth evil. He never heard the Lord go to the devil and say, "You thought about him? I mean, you're trying to rub my nose in all the failures down in humankind. This guy is something else." And what I'm thinking along that line is that if Job could have heard something like that, if he were standing behind the pillar in heaven while and overhearing this conversation between the Lord and the devil, you know, maybe he would have fortified himself. Maybe he would have been able to steel himself a little better against this trial. But instead, he had to do what you and I have to do. He had to do with whatever it was that God had revealed to him and believe God for it. He never heard God brag on him. Right? I'm saying that he never heard how pleased the Lord was with him, at least in his ear. Like I said, had Job overheard the conversation, maybe he could have psyched himself up a little bit, kind of steeled himself for the battle and been ready, kind of dug in and been ready for this onslaught that was coming. But that's not what happened. He didn't. He had to walk by faith just like you. He had to read in the Bible the commandments and promises of God, and you have a promise that says that, you know, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were put into the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and nothing can separate you. You just have to believe that. And you're stuck with believing words that applies to everybody like you. As far as there being a special message for God saying, Now, child, I just wanted you to know, especially, personally, just between me and you, how special you are to me. He didn't do that. And I want to say he doesn't do that to you. In general, I mean, if you go through a dark hour, there may be the Lord will show up to you. Maybe his presence will be real to you, and I hope that's true. He's not going to say anything new to you he hasn't said before. The fact of the matter is that he had to, he never heard how pleased the Lord was with him. He never heard those words that the Lord said unto the devil. I'm saying we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You go by your promises. Those promises are true, and we all wave the Bible and say, oh yeah, they're true, until things go really bad and it seems like they might not be true because you're being treated so badly. I'm simply saying Job had to walk by faith just like you and I did. You ever think about Abraham? We know that Abraham is the friend of God. We know that the thing that he did in Genesis 22 when he was willing to offer Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord, we know that's what won the Lord over from James 2. We know that's what drew the line where this man is my friend. Did you know that as far as I can tell, Job never heard the Lord say, you are my friend? Because the first time the friend of God shows up is long after Abraham is dead. That's in 2 Chronicles 20. The other place it's found is in Isaiah 41. Another place it's found is in James chapter 2. As far as I can tell, Abraham never felt the Lord put his hand around his arm around his shoulders and say, you are my son. You are something special. Your faith is something special. You're my friend. He didn't hear that. He had to go by what the Lord showed him. Did you ever stop and think about John the Baptist? John the Baptist is a little bit peeved at the Lord because he's been at it for a little while and Jesus isn't acting like a king. He keeps dallying with, publicans and sinners, and doesn't seem like he's headed towards knocking Caesar upside the head. And so John the Baptist from prison sends and says, hey, are you who we're looking for, or do we need to look for somebody else? Getting impatient. And the Lord told the messenger, he said, you guys go back and tell John what you've seen me do, that the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And by the way, tell him that, it'd be best if he's not offended in me. And those guys left. And as soon as those guys walked off, then the Lord said some things about John the Baptist that he didn't say to anybody else's ears. Nobody that went and reported to John the Baptist. He said, did you go out into the wilderness to see this soft, cuddly, intellectual guy? No, you went out to see a prophet. And I'm telling you, you saw more than a prophet. There's not a prophet that's risen that's greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't hear those words. I'm simply saying that John the Baptist, like Abraham and like Job, had to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm saying that's what Job had to do, and we consider Job the champion as far as going through some really, really dark hours. And I think that sometimes we use as an excuse the fact that, we don't go through that because all we have is promises. All we do is walk by faith. I mean, Moses at least got to see stuff. You gave Moses a rod. But us, we just have to make do with promises. Well, that's what Job made do with. And he's the champ. And so I just wanted to point that out. I mean, we ought to do better by faith than we do. He had to fortify and strengthen and encourage himself for trials by faith, just like me and you. There's something else I'd like you to see, and this kind of, I guess, is connected with what I just said. He was not witness to the spiritual conflict behind the lines. It turns out that the Lord challenged the devil. Actually, twice. Took it to the devil. It wasn't the devil that initiated it. It was the Lord said, hey, where you been? He said, oh, I've been up and down, back and forth. He said, did you see Job? So, yeah, I saw Job. But it was the Lord that brought it up. You know, Lord, just leave me out of it. If I'm doing so good, just leave me out of it. But the Lord brought it up. And I'm saying that to say that, you know, did you ever, if you're ever on the road, on a two-lane road, you ever get behind a dock truck? And you're in a little vehicle, he's in a big vehicle, and he's decided for one reason or another to go 40 miles an hour in a 60. And it's like, what is holding this guy? What's wrong with this guy? And you just about break your neck and get yourself and your wife killed, you know, moving your car over to peep around him to see what's going on around front. Because plainly, you know, somebody is holding up a show. I don't know what it is. We want to see what's going on. We want to see why. I have my laptop at home. It's getting up in years and getting a little long in the tooth. And currently, you know, if it's been a couple of weeks since I've turned it on, and sometimes it is because I'm not doing anything on it right now, but, you know, it takes forever for the thing to boot up. And it just sits there with this black screen and this little thing going, and it just goes on and on and on. I'm thinking, I'm ready to slam it against the desk. Why don't you just give me a graph so I can see how much longer this is going to take? I could go to the dentist. There's something about wanting to see, you know, and we don't know all the spiritual machinations that, you know, lead us into the things that we see and know these days. Here's all we know. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We know that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking him who may devour. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. As far as knowing the great specifics of exactly what the Lord, what's going on between the Lord and the principalities and powers exactly in this hour, we don't know exactly what's going on. It's like Job who realizes that, you know, of course, after it's come, that there's this huge spiritual conflict going on, but he doesn't know specifics about it. I mean, he knows what he knows. He knows what the Bible's told him, whatever the Lord's told him before. But as far as having specifics of, it's going to take 3 minutes and 20 more seconds for your computer to boot up, or there's actually this old blue hair around in front of the truck, you know, 15 cars forward that just won't get the lead out. You just don't know. You just don't know what I'm saying. He was not witness to the spiritual conflict behind enemy lines, behind the spiritual lines. We have to fortify and recognize what's going on, walk by faith, and see what happens and deal with what comes. Right? That's what we're called to do. That's what Job has to do. That's what Job had to do all the way through. If Job could have somehow, like I said, behind the scenes, been behind the pillar and realized this transaction occurred, this interchange between the Lord and the devil, he could have perhaps foreseen that, oh boy, the fur is going to flat sure hit the fan now. So I better dig in and find get a wall against my back so that I can handle this. But, you know, the Lord just expects us to be ready at any time. And so Job got up one morning. It was a fine morning like every other morning. His kids are grown. The cattle are, you know, multiplying like crazy. Things are good. Sun looks normal. There's no storm clouds on the horizon. The orchestral music didn't wake up. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, as far as he knows, everything's going good, but it didn't go good all day. By the time the day's over, he's lost all his stuff and all his children. And by the time the next few days have gone, he's lost his health and his wife. You say, what's the point? He was not witness to the spiritual conflict behind the lines. He didn't get to see it. I'm sure the Lord told him the devil was after him at some level. But you knew that already. Any of us can quote 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. The devil's after you. Well, wouldn't you? We don't live like the devil's after us sometimes. Right? The Lord just expects you to be ready all the time. I'd like to say this further. He wasn't given a forewarning of the trial to come. At least the Ninevites heard the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But Job didn't hear that. You know, Abraham one day woke up and got blindsided. He said, Lord says, hey, Abraham, the son that I gave you and Sarah, that miraculous kid, yep, go 3 days up the mountain, kill him. Blindsided, right? The three Hebrew children knew that when the music started playing, the time was come. I mean, they had thought about it for, you know, days. And when the deadline came and Nebuchadnezzar instituted this, you know, everybody bows down when the music plays thing, today's the day it goes into effect. And so, okay, today is whatever date it was going to happen. And so when we hear the music play, we got to stand bolt upright. We have to steel ourselves. We have to be ready. But they had time to prepare because they saw it coming. But Job didn't. And the fact is, you don't get a trial itinerary, do you? I mean, you don't know when something might happen. You don't know exactly what exact trials might come your way, what exact temptations might come your way. Like I said, life needs a soundtrack. Me and my wife got watching, there's some decent British murder mysteries that we got off eBay and stuff. And so you can always tell, though, that music starts playing, oh, we say, somebody's going to get killed. Because you can tell with the music. Life needs a soundtrack. So that if the minor key is playing in a doleful way, first thing in the morning, I'll just stay in bed. But unfortunately, that's not what happens. I want to say that Job had to walk by faith. I mean, he had to walk by faith in that he was given no forewarning of a trial to come. At least not, you know, it's going to happen today in 20 minutes. You better get ready. We live by, you know, tornado, you know, weather sirens and stuff around here. And I guess the sirens were going off last Wednesday night. I didn't hear them because I was running my mouth. But, you know, usually the sirens go off. You go, whoop, well, there's the next 20 minutes is going to be kind of iffy. But the Lord doesn't always give you that. He tells you, get up in the morning and come to me and talk to me and be ready. Be sober. Be vigilant. But I ain't going to tell you that he's going to come at 10:20. Right? Nobody gets an itinerary. He wasn't given a forewarning of a trial to come. He walked by faith, just like you do. And brother, he excelled and got a victory. Right? He said, all you got to do is curse God. And he didn't curse God. She said, curse God and die. He said, no, no. I want to say that in chapter 1, verse 10, if you would, notice that. He never heard God tell him how pleased he was. That is, he didn't hear the conversation. He would have had whatever God had told him before in God's word that God had given him. He was not witness to the spiritual conflict behind the scenes. He wasn't given a forewarning of the trials to come. Look in chapter 1, verse 10. And Satan answered the Lord, let's start with verse 9, and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He said, well, why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be faithful? You've blessed him. You've made all of his cattle have, you know, multiple calves a year and all this kind of stuff. His crops are just going off like crazy. It's going to be a bumper year again for Job. You just bless him right and left. There's nothing that ever gets through the hedge for Job. Well, I just want to say that he wasn't given specifics about God's hedge. I don't doubt that God had hedged him about. I'm sure that God did bless him. I know that God did protect him. But Job wasn't informed as to the new adjustments that had taken place this day. I mean, the Lord had let Satan off of his chain a little bit and given him some more slack on the chain. He had allowed a hole to be made in the hedge. And when it came to that day, he didn't say, now, Job, you better look to your left and behind you because that's where the devil's coming through today. He didn't tell him that. He didn't give him specifics about the hedge. Now, you have eternal security. and you know that God blesses you and protects you and all that's good. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would just say, now, today's a special day. You better be extra ready today, because behind you in the protection that I've given you, I've given the devil permission to do something today with you that I haven't given him before. And so that way you could kind of fortify the weak spot. And again, you would be ready if the Lord would just tell you to be ready. But wait, he told you to be ready all the time. And so I just want to say that he wasn't given specifics about God's hedge. And don't worry, your eternal security is insurmountable. Praise the Lord. And a lot of the blessings that you have are untouchable. The devil's not going to touch your circumcision made without hands. You're being seated in heavenly places in Christ. He can't touch those things. But for a lot, and for some awfully good men and women, and some folks that you know, one day the Lord did give the devil a little bit more chain to test them in a way that they'd never been tested before. And eventually, probably all of us experience that at some level. And brethren, the Lord's called you to be ready for it every day. I'm just trying to say that, you know, Job didn't see anything either. Job didn't have any more light on what was going to happen exactly than you have on what's going to happen exactly with your health, with your children. Who goes prodigal? Who doesn't? Who comes back? Nobody knows. How are you going to die? Nobody knows. Are you going to go through acute or chronic illness? Well, nobody truly knows. God knows, but he's really not telling. And I'm just saying that we all walk by faith. We all have to be ready for whatever, right? And like I said, sometimes we think that, well, you know, I could win a battle too. If I was like Moses and had a rod I could just raise, and, you know, where I'd seen all the things that Elijah saw. And the fact is, all those guys failed at one level or another. On the other hand, here's Job, who, as tough as it was, made it all the way through, and he walked just like you walk. He walked by faith and not by sight. Job didn't see nothing. Look at something else here. Look at, I've already said this in effect anyway, but go back to Job 23, if you would. Let me just emphasize it again. Job 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He was in the dark except for God's words. And again, I can only tell you that none of us really know fully all that God told him. We don't know all that God revealed to him, and it'll be a major curiosity for me when we get to heaven one day to ask the Lord and Job, well, what exactly was it that you knew about God exactly? What was it that God told you? Because I'm just really interested, because we don't have that in the Bible, right? But I wanted you to see that he was in the dark except for God's words. What did he know? I'm so tired of false prophets and, like I said, charismatics and everybody using the Bible as a Ouija board and going through these, systems to make the Bible say that, you know, the rapture is going to be next week on Thursday, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're always wrong. I'm just tired of the false prophets using that stuff, and what the issue is, we're supposed to be ready all the time. And so I say he was in the dark except for God's words, just like me and you. He was called to depend on what God had already previously told him. And God really didn't tell him anymore. Whatever he had told him was in stone, and what he had to go through this trial with was what God had already told him. That's exactly where we are. You don't get new revelation. Lord's not going to speak to you in a voice that gives you new stuff. The answers to your problems, the answers to your trials are the things that you already read in the book. And that's exactly where Job was. And Job was the champ. I mean, who went through anything like Job? I mean, we talk about Job, and I'm in awe of what Job went through, right? And came out of. But that's exactly where we are. I'd like to say this further, a few more things here. Look in chapter 23, verse 10, if you'd back off. The verse we just read a couple. And notice this. Verse 10, Job is talking. He says, "But he, God, knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now that reminds me of a verse that we quote often and that we live by. That's Romans 8:28. "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." That's basically what Job 23:10 says. And so I'll say this, I'd say that Job had to live Romans 8:28, just like me and you. Right? I don't necessarily like it sometimes, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's where Job had to camp. Now let me show you this too. Go over to Job 40. And Job is like us in an awful lot of ways. Job chapter 40. All right, Job's trial is basically over. Now he is being addressed by the Lord. He did get the chance to talk to the Lord. The Lord talked to him and pretty much laid it out as it was. And notice in Job chapter 40, verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth." I mean, the Lord reamed Job out. I mean, he went up one side of Job and down the other because of the things that Job had said. He never crossed the line so far, but I mean, when it came to getting a reaming out, God gave Job a reaming out. And so when the Lord's done with the first bout of it, Job's answer was, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Now, it didn't really stop there. Job 42. And this is the second time the Lord gives Job a chance to say something. And in Job chapter 42, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." I'd like to say that Job emerged from his trial in humility and self-abhorrence. Now, this is going to go against Joel Osteen real bad. I'm just saying. But the false feel-good prophets have us emerging from the church age in self-confidence, filled with self-esteem and glory. We get a parade, a confetti parade, and I just hope that there's little glittery things in the confetti, because when the confetti lands on me, I want to sparkle. We come out richer, we come out healthy, we come out better looking than we've ever been. But the fact of the matter is that Job emerged from the trial in humility and self-abhorrence. That's the truth. Let me ask you this. Can you picture, here is Abraham who, you know, took his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah, a 3 days journey, thinking about it the whole way. And they pack wood up the hill. And when it comes time, Abraham is fully intending to drive the dagger home into his son Isaac's chest. And the Lord stops him. Now, I know that both Abraham and Isaac had to have been really happy when the Lord didn't make him do that. But somehow I have a hard time seeing them holding hands skip jumping down the road back home? How would they have come out? They would have left Mount Moriah two very sober men, and realizing perhaps that they were part of something way much bigger, and that maybe even the Lord was showing a future generation a whole lot more than they even understood. But there's something that's pretty certain, and that is the fact that it must have been driven into the breast of Abraham that he almost had been put in a position to drive a stake into his very own promised son's heart. And here is poor Isaac sitting there. My father, the man of God, you know, came within a millisecond of killing me. And I'm saying that they came out of this thing somber. And I think sometimes, you know, here we talked about this morning in Sunday school, but here's Paul. He says that his conclusion is that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. His conclusion is, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We talked about it for a couple weeks in part, you know, through our services and stuff. And the fact is that the older I get in the Lord and the longer I go, the worse I realize that I am. And the less worthy I feel of doing anything that I do for God. I'm saying that Joel Osteen is truly on dope. He is truly a false prophet. Because I don't think we get out of here. I think we'll be joyous to go to heaven. But just remember, as you joyfully go, there's also a judgment seat of Christ. And I assure you that knowing the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men, there's some things waiting for us there that are not going to be fun. I'm not trying to make you dread it, other than I'm trying to make you dread it. The fact of the matter is that we all come through this life realizing that none of us deserve to be saved, much less victorious. And one day, you know, it may be that some of us have some crowns and some fruit to our accounts and maybe a few jewels and some gold, and none of it's deserved. Now, it's all by His grace and wonderfulness. And so in that light, you know, the longer I go, the lower self-esteem I got. I'm serious. I think less of myself today than 20 years ago. I know I'm weaker today than I've ever been. I am cognizant of the fact that if it weren't for God's grace, I'm a grease spot. And so I'm just seeing this. I'm seeing Job come through this thing, and he emerges from this trial in humility and self-abhorrence. I'm not trying to make you sad. I'm not trying to make you depressed. I'm just trying to say, you know, the trial that you go through is a serious thing. And Job had to walk by faith, get through it by faith, just like me and you had to get through it by faith. When he comes out on the other end, you know, there comes a day that he gets his children back and gets to marry again, and everything's great. But in Job 40 and Job 42, it's self-abhorrence. He realizes that through the trial, how badly he failed God. In fact, Lord, I don't even want to say anything anymore. I'm going to shut my mouth. So I'm just pointing that out. I can maybe lift your spirits a little bit. Psalm Job 42, Job 42:8. I'm almost done. The Lord says to Job, therefore take unto you, the three friends, now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. Okay, now I know there's a little bit different context there, but I would just have you point out that in the end of his trial, Job was accepted. And I'm glad to know that I'm accepted. I've already told you about my failures. I've already told you about, you know, how I really don't think I'm hot stuff anymore. Okay? And the, you know, the as often as I fail a trial, I don't feel worthy of much of anything. Okay? At the same time, I know I'm accepted in the Beloved. I know that when Job came through this thing, he got a passing grade and he was acceptable to God. And so it's like he said, I shall come forth as gold. And somehow you have to know and believe that the Lord puts us through these things in this life because he wants us to come out on the other side better than we went in. And Job was accepted. Notice something else in chapter 42, verse 10. In 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I can take a lesson from that Job's captivity was turned when he prayed. Job's captivity was turned not when he prayed for himself. Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friends. You should spend more time praying for each other than you do you. I'm afraid the lovers of their own selves thing has bled over into the prayer lives of those that pray. Because a lot of times, all folks do is just pray for themselves. Well, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You got any friends you could pray for? Maybe more often than you pray, and for a little bit longer than you usually do. You know what I'm saying? See, Job was more like us than Moses was. Job was more like us, really, than Abraham was. Because all of those men really did get to see some things, whereas you haven't seen anything. We walk by faith and not by sight. Job was really a lot more like you and me than he was Moses and Israel in these regards. And so one thing you have to ask yourself, if Job got through his horrific trials by faith, we're asked to walk by faith, we're asked to get through our trials by faith, shouldn't Job be our guide? Shouldn't we look up to Job all the more and realize that it is attainable? One last thing to point out to you. I'd like to point out to you that he was not debriefed. Now, I don't know what Job knows now. He hasn't been to a proper judgment yet. One day he will. And maybe that's when the full debriefing goes. But, you know, the abiding question is Job is, why did you treat me like this? Right? Has to be. And why did you put me through all this? I mean, really? And the Lord never gave Job that answer. In the end, the Lord told Job, I'm God, and frankly, I can do what I want to do. Right? And Job never got the... We expect one day to get the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm sure that this will happen at some degree. I'm sure that we'll have all explained to us that we need to have explained. I'm sure Job will too, but to my knowledge at this point, for all I know, Job may still not know, have a full explanation from God, a full breakdown, a full debrief of why exactly I chose you to turn the devil loose on. And so, you know, you'll go through things in this life and you'll say, why, oh why? Why me? Why did I have to go through that? Why do I have to go through this? Why does she have to go through it? I just got news for you. Sometimes there's no answer forthcoming. Not until later. Not until the judgment seat of Christ. Because as far as I can tell, Job never got a debrief. He got a bawling out. So much so that he said, I'm going to shut my mouth because my mouth is vile. I'm going to quit talking. But as far as having it, no, Job, the reason I did this was because, you know, he never got that explanation. He didn't get debriefed. I think you'll get debriefed at the judgment seat of Christ. But as far as why something happened between you and somebody else, if you hadn't figured it out to this point, you may never be debriefed. Why did the Lord turn the devil loose on me and let him do that to me? You may never be debriefed until the judgment seat of Christ. You may not know the answer. Job walked by faith. He walked by faith and not by sight just as much as us and a lot more than Elijah and a lot more than Elisha. All those guys saw stuff. Job, he had the Word of God to go by. And the Lord didn't give an explanation before, during, or after. And so I just hope that, you know, you can realize that if somebody like that can win a victory, then, brother, so can you. You've not been under-equipped. We just don't like how we've been equipped sometimes. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Job and for what he stands for.